In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. In the Gospel reading for the sixth Sunday of Pascha, we hear this marvelous story from the ninth chapter of John's Gospel about the man born blind. It's a story of how one man receives his sight at the hands of Jesus, and also a story about how sighted men all around sink more and more deeply into the opposite. They sink into spiritual blindness. We hear, for example, that after the man is healed, the man is surrounded by the rage and the contempt and the bluster of the Pharisees, and they demand to know who performed this healing. The Pharisees, we know, are sort of ready for the kill. They are ready to use all of their intelligence, all of their legal and their theological reasoning to discredit the person responsible. They know who it is. They know it's Jesus, and they're ready. The blind man with a pure heart is a man of no guile, as they say in Scripture, a man full of simple honesty. He answers the Pharisees in the only way that makes any sense. He doesn't say to the people and to the Pharisees that it was an angel. Doesn't even say that he was a holy man at first. And at first doesn't even say that he's a prophet. He doesn't make any assumptions. He doesn't draw any conclusions. Instead, he reports the basic facts, and he says, well, it was a man. A man called Jesus is the one who healed me. And of course, later on, after the Pharisees continue to hound and to berate and to ultimately cast this man out of the synagogue, this man called Jesus comes to him once again and reveals that he is also the Son of God. And Scripture reports that the man born blind falls down and worships him. And in this passage, St. John follows a pattern that he uses many times in his gospel. It's a pattern that's already familiar to us, rather, through these weeks of Pascha. In these several stories, someone first encounters Jesus, but Jesus the man. And only later are they capable of understanding that Jesus is also the divine Son of God. In these 6 weeks after Pascha, we have seen this pattern. We've seen it with the Apostle Thomas. We've seen it with the Samaritan woman. We see it now with the man born blind. In these stories, first encountered is Jesus, the human being, and only later does Jesus reveal himself as that divine Son of God. This is true also throughout all of the Gospels. Almost all of the encounters between our Lord and human beings are encounters in which he comes to them and they acknowledge and they receive and they perceive and they encounter and interact with him as a man, always as a man first, not as somebody from another place, not as the pre-eternal incarnate Word of God. What is true of Scripture is also true of our worship. We worship that way too. We see the same pattern repeated in a very basic way here on Sundays in the Divine Liturgy. Our liturgy every Sunday has two parts. Seems complicated, right? Two parts, that's it. There is what we call the liturgy of the catechumens. It's what we do now. It's full of Holy Scripture. It's full of hearing the Psalms, hearing the epistle reading, hearing the gospel, hearing a word about the gospel. And then there is later on the liturgy of the faithful, the liturgy of those who are already baptized. And it's that order for a reason. We don't begin with the creed. We don't begin with all of those kind of high-powered theological explanations of what we believe about Jesus Christ, true God of true God, light of light, of one essence with the Father. We don't begin with that. That comes later. We begin instead, as I said, with Holy Scripture, with the words about the man Jesus Christ, with words about his ministry and his teaching within the world. We begin with his concrete impact on the lives of people as a human being. Only later in liturgy do we worship our Lord in a slightly different way. At least the words sound very different. Only later on is the mystery of his lordship revealed to us in that deeper way. So we see this pattern in John's gospel all over the place. We see it in how we worship. There's a third place we see this transition from knowing Jesus as man to knowing Jesus as God. We see that at the great feast of the Ascension. This is the great feast that takes place 40 days after Pascha. We will celebrate it this Thursday. We always think of the ascension as kind of an experience where Jesus is at his most divine, right? Must have been a fantastic sight, especially when you read Luke's account, being parted from his disciples and going up to heaven. You can't get much more superhuman than that, much more divine than that. But as amazing as this may seem, the account of the ascension in Luke's gospel, it emphasizes the encounter between the disciples and the man Jesus much, 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 much more than the encounter between the disciples and Jesus as the incarnate Word of God. The passage is 17 verses, and in only two of them do we see that divine glory kind of on full display. In all the other verses, Jesus has to work hard as a man to prepare his disciples to experience that glory. He has to convince them that he is the man Jesus long before he can reveal to them the mystery of his ascension. In anticipation of the feast, here's that gospel reading from Luke chapter 24. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. And they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. Jesus pulls them back. He doesn't want them to think that they've seen a spirit. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands. See my feet. See that it is I myself." He says, "Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see that I have." They handle Jesus. Then they go on to eat with him. And while they still disbelieved for joy and they wondered, he said to them, "Do you have here anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it before them. Earthy, human. This is not a divine being sort of displaying his full powers. Not yet, right? After eating, he speaks to them. He teaches them. They're still not ready. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." And finally, after all these verses of speaking and teaching and touching and eating and comforting and commanding, finally the disciples are ready to see the glory of their Lord. And then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and we're continually in the temple blessing God. Ours is a beautiful two-step dance with Jesus. First, we encounter him always as a man. We have to. And then we come to know him as God. And we see this over and over on these Sundays of Pascha. We experience this in our worship as we make that transition from what we do now, the liturgy of those to be baptized, the liturgy of the catechumens, to the liturgy of the faithful, to the liturgy of those who are baptized. And we get a big dose of it in our celebration of Ascension. And each day, we are called to dance this dance with our Lord. We are called each day to encounter the man, Jesus Christ, just as the blind man and Thomas and the woman at the well and all the other faithful men and women of the Gospels encountered him. Our entry into the mystery of Jesus Christ, to the mystery of divine communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we need before earth and heaven can spill over into one another, what we need to do is to touch and to speak and to hear and to see and to walk with and to talk with and to eat with the man, Jesus. He shares our life and humanity so that we may share in his glory. There's a direction and order. Just as at baptism, united to Christ, we die a death like his, so that we might be raised to new life as he was raised. This is the dance that Jesus Christ calls us to each and every day. He steps into our humanity so that we might step into his divine glory. In the mysteries of the new heaven and the new earth, These mysteries of our faith cannot be unlocked for us until we first come to know Jesus Christ, the human being. You can't win a 100-meter gold until you first learn to walk. You can't earn a PhD until you first learn to read. This is why we pray. When we pray, we enter a relationship with our Lord at the most basic human level. We share our hopes and our fears. We share our joys and our sorrows with our Lord like he's there, because he is. We talk to him, and you can't get much more human than that. But as we pray, as we do so, we begin to open ourselves to the mystery of God's loving and governing presence in this world. This is also why we must spend time reading Holy Scripture each day. When we do so, we hear the words of Jesus. We receive his teaching. We remember the help and the comfort and the healing that he gives. This is why we pray. This is why we read Scripture. And this is certainly why we worship. Not just on Sundays, but every day as we are able, whether at home or in the church. We live our lives as Orthodox Christians not just on Sundays. We live from Sunday to Sunday. We say this all the time. We live our life from Sunday to Sunday. And the week for us is a holy rhythm during which we give thanks for the communion we last received, and we begin to prepare ourselves for the next time we gather at the Lord's banquet table. Our God touches time and makes it holy. That's what the week is given to us for. He doesn't call us to despise the world, to kind of hold our breath till next Sunday. He calls us to see the goodness in it, to recover the goodness that it was created to have, to see with new eyes the joy that the world that we live in was created to bring us, the peace that we were created to have as human beings, as children of God, within the world. Brothers and sisters, in these 6 Sundays of Pascha, the church is reminding us of something said by one of our fathers among the saints, St. Athanasius the Great, way back in the 300s. He says, in Jesus Christ, God became man so that man might become God. And as St. Gregory Nazianzus says just a few years later, Jesus Christ became fully human in every way that we are human, except sin, so that by sharing with us what it means to be human, he might bring us into the life and into the joy and the peace and the worship and the thanksgiving that we were created to enjoy. But all of this, these deep treasures, these mysteries of our faith, these things that are sometimes very hard to get our minds around, all of this requires the first step each day of hearing and speaking and encountering and spending time with the man, Jesus. And when we do this, by God's grace and power, our eyes are opened, along with the eyes of the man born blind. And along with him, we too can fall down and worship Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I believe. Christ is risen. Amen.